Let me read that again. Better is one day. Okay, it's out there. I'm going to invite us to say this together. One, two, three. Better is one day in your court than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'm going to invite this beautiful lady up here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that at the foot of the cross, we're all equal and we're all recipient of your grace and your mercy. Use your servant today to speak to us. Open our hearts to receive what you want to say to us today. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is my wife.
Thank you for saying that. For those of you who didn't know. My name is Elin, and we've had a fantastic summer. Summer is always a challenge for people. Elin, keep it private. Summer is always a challenge for me because having vacation means that you stop working. And I don't know if I'm the only one in this building, but stop working is not easy because you have your phone, you get your emails. But this summer, I made a deliberate choice. Oh, then again, we're in Fiji, so it's limited on how many emails. Not that they don't have email, but I don't turn my Norwegian prescription on. Phone on. But I made some deliberate choices this summer. I was going to read some books. And to some of you, that's like, oh, really, Elin? But I haven't read a whole book since our youngest son was born. And he's turned 9. So for me, it's been a long time with being busy. You know, when your mind is busy and you can't sit down and focus on a book? So this summer, I sat down and I read this amazing book called The Masterpiece. And this is not a book review, but I'm saying this because maybe some of you need to sit down and focus a little bit. And if you like to read, this is a brilliant book about the one who created masterpieces. But it's written through the eyes of an author that has a terrible life, and he actually gets sanctified. Do you know what that means? That's the beautiful journey that we are all on. Where God, the best illustration I could think of is like a fruit or an apple that you've peeled and you've taken a bite and then you loose it down in the gravel. And then the Lord is, instead of throwing the apple away, he takes out the stones. And that's what he's doing in all of our lives. He is doing it in all of our lives. So I said that this book is about sanctification. And then my fantastic husband, because I got so into the book, I couldn't put it away. So I was reading, and him and the kids are like, Mom is in her book again. But it was beautiful because it was me and the Lord and this book. And then I finished it, and then I said, do you have anything to read? And Joelle had this book, which is called The Emotionally Healthy Leader. And I'm not even finished in it because it's a workbook. And you can take away leader and put in whatever you are because it's about, again, the journey that we are on. And what the Lord wants to do in our life. And I have stopped at the chapter that's about the Sabbath. Because that's where the Lord convicted me. Again, I work and I'm busy and I'm a mom. And I have not been keeping the Sabbath. So, before we start crying, Elin, another good read, The Emotionally Healthy Leader. But then, there was these two sermons that I heard this summer. That's challenged me, and that's part of this sermon. And one of them is about our friends in YWAM. They're chasing down the Great Commission like there's no tomorrow. And they're on this Wycliffe Bible translators, my superheroes, translating the Word of God. They are going after the last languages. They are chasing it down like, I love it. But that means that when every tribe is heard, what does that mean? That's the Great Commission we're talking about. So that really challenged me. And then there was this other sermon that I just heard a few days ago about, again, sanctification, getting realigned with who we are created to be. And so out of those, all of that, this summer, I've been mulling over for the last 6 months this whole thing about God's presence. What is God's presence? Where did it all start? And of course, it's not difficult. It started in the beginning. We know that in Genesis, something good happened and something bad happened. And you see what chapter this is? This is chapter 3. It's after the fruit. But, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife, they hid themselves. But he was still walking the earth, his presence. So they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So we know that the presence of the Lord, he was present. Of course, he created us. He created the earth. And then he chose a people. And when he chose the Israelites and he led them out, the book Exodus, leading them out, he says, what did he say? My presence will go with you. And this is beautiful. And I will give you... How many of us need some rest? I love that. I thank you, God, your presence. Whew. It's not oppression. It's rest. And then his beautiful people had the tent, the tabernacle. Some of you know the story, some of you don't. This is basic Bible knowledge, but it's so sweet because it says, this encouragement is actually repeated in Psalms, but it says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence sometimes. Continually. Okay? We need to do it. We need to pursue his presence. Seek it. And then there were some people that were chosen to stand in his presence. My sons, do not be with negligent. For the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him, and to be his ministers and make offerings to him. In the Old Testament, they were a chosen few. In the New Testament, who are they? We are all called to make offerings to him. But in the Old Testament, were there some people that didn't offer a pleasing sacrifice to brothers? What happened to them? They didn't go very well. And there is something about that. Do not be negligent. Our offerings to him, we need to be aware. One, who we're offering to. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that requires our offering to be pure. Because you have set our agony. I love how he writes, the author writes our, because we are all in this boat together. We're all fallen. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. And this scripture, yes, it might be in the Old Testament, but we know that when the Lord looks at you in the eyes, all you can do is say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. There's nothing hidden for him. There's nothing hidden for him. And that's the beauty, because he is the one that loves us to repentance. This is not a strict school teacher. This is the loving Father that stands there, and you can tell him everything. That's who we're dealing with. That is our Father. But we know that he is the Lord of Lords. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. And we know what happened to Jerusalem. We know that they didn't do well. They were taken into exile. For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen because of their speech and their deeds against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. If God were to hold any nation on earth up against that, would they stand? Would Norway stand? Keep it real, people. We have all fallen short. And our speech, our deeds are against the Lord. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Does this give us hope? Does this give any nation hope? I know that some of you are praying for some nations right now. I know that there are people in this congregation that have terrible turmoil in their nation. God can redeem anyone. Anyone. Any nation, any ruler, anywhere in the world. God is the only hope. And we need to wake up as Christians and we need to pray for all those leaders of nations. All those nations that are oppressed, all those nations that were like, enough already. How long have we been praying? How long have we been knocking on this door? How long has this been going on? But we need to pray and pray and pray because we know that this is our God. He has mercy. His heart is to save. At the time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord. And some nations? Can you say all nations? Shall gather to it, to the presence of the Lord in Jerusalem. And they shall no more stubbornly follow their own evil heart. How many of you have tried to talk to, and this is talking about nations, but how many of you have tried to talk to a friend that is not a Christian? Say, don't do that. Don't go there. It's not good for you. And you've just talked to the hand. I talked to Akanisi the other day, and I said, you know that family, they believe something else. And she goes, yeah, I've told her so many times. Akanisi is so simple. She just, yeah, I've told her so many times. And I said, okay, well, I think a new strategy would be to pray for them, to soften the heart. Because this stubborn spirit, if you've tried to talk to it, you know what I'm talking about. It hurts your nose because your door gets slammed in the nose every time. Again, we were in Fiji, and some people were not going to go to bed, and they were sitting drinking two houses down from where we were sleeping. And this is not pretty, people. But it was 1 o'clock in the night, and I was mad. And so when I'm mad, I don't always keep it together, but this time I put my hoodie on, I went outside, and I didn't talk to them. But I went like this, in Jesus' name, Father, you take control over this place. Father, Holy Spirit, I call you down, Jesus. And Father, you come and you, right now, Lord, you set us free from this oppression. Okay, it was not pretty. But I wanted to sleep. And they were not going to let me sleep. So they didn't let me sleep. So the whole night, I was up. The next morning, I was not less mad. I was more mad. So I said, Joelle, I need to go. He's like, okay, what's going on? So I took my purse, I left. I went to the airport, which was the closest coffee place. I sat down and I had a coffee. And I wrote on a piece of paper and I said, Father in heaven, I'm lost. I'm so mad. These people are sinners. They don't know you. And I'm cursing them left and right. They need mercy. They don't need some stupid Christian white lady to come and tell them how terrible they are. right? Seriously, Aileen? Okay, that was my confession of the day. But the stubbornly evil heart needs prayer. It needs mercy. It needs love. It's the goodness of God that loves us to repentance, not a stupid white lady that curses you in her prayer. Okay? Anyway, New Testament. Because this is why I love that we have done the book of Galatians together, that shows us that Jesus' finished work on the cross is our hope of glory. Because knowing that he who raised Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Who is going to bring us with him into his presence? Who is the active part here? Exactly. And this one, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you somewhat clean, somewhat okay, no? Blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Who is doing the work here? Sanctification is about his work in us. But what it requires is our utmost humility. We need to come, not hide our secret sins, not pull away. Father, I'm a mess, and I need you more than ever. Lord, in the heart of hearts, in the deepest, darkest corners of my heart, please clean there, Lord. Please. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hands, there are pleasures evermore. His journey is not one of heavy yoke. Oh, Lord, I can't go through this life. Oh, Father. In his presence, when we come there, when we say, Lord, I can't do it. I'm failing again and again and again. Or my lost brother, this yoke is too heavy. I can't carry him. I can't. I've tried for all my life to carry him. I can't. Father, you take him. You bring him to you. I will pray. When you come with your burdens, with your heaviest yoke to the Lord, he receives you. When you bring to him, like Joelle said, the darkest things in mankind, the Lord has already seen it. There is nothing you can bring to him that would shock him. But bring it to him. Bring it to him so that the journey of sanctification can continue and that he can pluck away. If you are that apple that fell on the ground, he can keep on plucking out those rocks so that when he presents you before the throne, you are blameless. Because of what Jesus did, not because of what you have done. This is the end station. This is where we're heading. And we know this ending. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And then I saw, and the sea was no more. I read that and I thought, oh, that's a bummer. What about the surfers? Yeah, okay, anyway. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Where does it come from? Thank you. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And when I heard, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away some tears. Can you say every tear? Thank you, from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I'm making all things new. Is this a good ending? Is this a happy ending? Do you think that this has inspired every movie since the beginning of time? This is the happiest ending in the universe. In all the universes. And how many there are, I don't know. This is where we're heading. This is what's the end destination. This is presence. When I was talking about the presence of the Lord, I thought, all the stories I've heard or read in the Bible, like Moses, it sounds pretty scary. It sounds like overwhelming. The burning bush, it's intimidating. And then I started reading the revival history of the Hebrides revival. You know where the Hebrides are? Some of you know. It's that direction. Some islands off of the coast of... Is that somewhat true, my Scottish friends? Yeah, okay. It's some small islands, but it's not New York. See how many of you knew where it was? It's not New York. Anyone know where New York is? Okay. The point being that it's a small, insignificant, maybe, place to men. But God chose to break out in a revival there. And it wasn't even in the biggest city there. But it was in the smaller villages. And there is this beautiful story about how people just flocked to this police station and started repenting. And it wasn't even a church service. It was nothing. It was just the presence of the Lord. And they said that they knew that the police was a godly man. So they came to the police and then they just started repenting under the Spirit of the Lord. And I thought, no one told them to do that except the Lord. Who was the one who told Moses to take his shoes off? The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Who told him to do that? The bush, God. My point being, the presence of the Lord is the presence of the Lord. It's Him who is telling you what to do. It's Him who is convicting your heart of repentance. It's Him who is telling you what to not do and what to do in your life. It's the Father that's instructing you. And so that is my challenge for everyone in here today. Like I was convicted when I was reading the book, are you keeping the Sabbath? And the Sabbath was, the point being, take aside time to be with the Lord. That was the point of the Sabbath. Of not being busy with everything else, because I can be busy like nobody's business. And so I have to deliberately choose not to be busy and take time and spend time with the Lord. And that's my challenge to you, because I think the number one idol in this country, it's not money, it's time. And then you can say time is money. Yeah, whatever. My point being, how are you going to spend your time this fall? Are you going to take time to be in God's presence and do business with Him? Because that's what happened. When you take time, it's wonderful to gather in the congregation, but now I'm talking about the personal business that you do with the Lord. Being deliberate about that. Taking necessary steps, saying, take the kids, I need an hour, or I need 2 hours. I need to do some business with the Lord. And then my second challenge is this. When you offer your sacrifice, just come in humility. Come in humility to the Lord, and He will receive you. Trust me, I've had some of my darkest, darkest times of my life, and I've been in a room just crying, and I lift my head, and I feel like, you know, I deserve a smack, and then you get daughter, I hear you. You know what that's like when you've done something really bad? You think in your eyes you deserve to be curfewed for the rest of your life, and then the father is just like, daughter, I hear you. I forgive you. Those are my two challenges. Be deliberate about your time with the Lord, and when you spend time with him, just come in humility. Just keep it real. Just say, Father, it's been a long time. I'm sorry. I've gotten so busy. You know my situation, and he will not smack you. I promise he won't. And just a practical tip, journal. When you spend time with the Lord, journal. Write down impressions, words. Keep it specific. That's you and the Lord. Just keep it real. Okay, let's pray. Father, we are all your children, and we are so, so grateful to have you as our Father. You know every heart in this room. Lord, we just submit our hearts to you right now. Lord, you know where we're at. You know where our sanctification journey is stuck. You know how it's going, Father. Lord, we just invite you to come and do business with us. Lord, to come and speak to us, to come and strengthen us, to come and walk with us, Lord Jesus, because we can't do it in ourselves. Lord, I fail daily. Lord, we're so in need of you. And Father, I know the potential of this church. I know the potential of these people here, and you know it even more. And so, Father, I just speak life where there is death. I speak freedom where there is bondage. And Lord, I speak release and provision where there is need, Father. Lord, you can do incredible things through very, very normal people. And so, Father, I invite you to come and take your place, to come and do what your will is for us, I see this fall. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.